It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
37 protesters were arrested today amid some violent clashes with police, and it all started on the Brooklyn Bridge this morning. Some alarming video here shows a protester striking NYPD officers with a bar as a pro-police march made up of primarily churchgoers and law enforcement unions was just getting underway. Four officers suffered serious injuries. Chief of Department Terry Monahan, that's the highest-ranking uniformed officer. He suffered minor hand injuries. But a counter-protest organizer tells me at least one person on his side was hurt too.
We want to talk about our issues in complex and nuanced ways, as we always do. What we were met with was once our folks even were on the pedestrian walk of the bridge, police immediately went in with riot gear and arrested everyone.
Now, this follows yet another night of gun violence in the city. One dead, five hurt in Brooklyn. Today, the mayor launched a Brooklyn crime prevention plan and also signed the controversial chokehold ban into law. The mayor has blamed coronavirus for the rise in gun violence. One police union president calls him a liar.
The criminals know we're not out there taking the guns. That's why you're seeing this violence. The mayor's lying to the public. The cops know it in the street. Members of the public know it.
And Brett, the mayor just released a statement denouncing the violence against those officers on the Brooklyn Bridge this morning and says that he is working to heal the community through primarily police reforms.
So there you go. Sandy Rios with you. That was horrible. I watched the video. Aishna Hosni from Fox reported that. And you see these guys, these thugs, bending over a rail and starting to beat the police with these long sticks or clubs. Now what we know, you watch that and you don't, there's no sympathy whatsoever for the person that she just interviewed and said, they started arresting us. You should see for yourself how this thing unfolded. And they were beating policemen left and right. The policemen, there's blood running down their faces because they were beating them from over the top. The policemen were standing down in this elevated roadway with a railing, and they were bending over the top of the railway, beating the police. And then they dragged them off. So it was a very, very ugly sight. And then I saw a video a little bit later of another article that shows a camera, New York is full of cameras, as are all big cities right now. But a camera showing a gentleman pulling up. You can't quite make it out. But honestly, I'm just telling you, from my eyes, he looks very white. And so several black men come around the car. The, I believe, white gentleman, use the term loosely, opens his trunk and begins handing out these bat-like bars. They're like bats, bars, whatever they are. Hands them out, a trunk full of them, as these black activists, Black Lives Matter, grab the bars, and then that's what they did with them. We saw later how they beat the police. This is horrific. This is horrific. And so, of course, New York continues to have an elevated murder rate. It's horrendous what's happening to the people there. It's like a war zone. I'm sure it's not a war zone in every area, but it's a war zone in a lot of areas. We find out more things about this. You know, Berkeley, California has decided that they're going to restrain their police even more. They're going to use civilian city workers to start conducting traffic stops rather than policemen. So that's their solution in Berkeley. So if you don't feel safe in New York, you can always move to Berkeley and feel safer there. And then President Trump weighed in on what's happening in the cities. We know that Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis have suffered such tremendous loss for rational people It is horrendous, and we see what's happening in New York City and in Chicago as it goes on and on and on, as we have these radical leftist mayors. The president weighed in on this a little bit yesterday, indicating he plans to do something further about it. Let's listen.
We will be meeting you in a similar vein, but a little different subject next week, and that concerns our cities. And again, people that have lost control of some of our great cities, we're going to straighten things out. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Taking over cities earlier this week, is that what next week's announcement is about?
You'll be seeing next week. We'll have a conference next week and we'll tell you in great detail, but it's something that I think at this point the American people want to see. They've been run very poorly, these cities, whether it's Seattle, where we were getting ready to go in and they decided to go in, and that's good. Minneapolis, where we had the National Guard go in, and as soon as they did that, we straightened that mess out. They should have been able to do it locally with their police. Their police are good. They were told not to do anything. Or many other cases. We're doing a great job in Portland. Portland was very rough, and they called us in, and we did a good job, to put it mildly. Many people in jail right now. But we have other cities that are out of control. They're like war zones. And if the city isn't going to straighten it out, of local politicians, all in this case, I don't say this for political reasons, they're all Democrats. They're liberal, left-wing Democrats. And it's almost like they think this is going to be this way forever. We're in Chicago. 68 people were shot and 18 died last week. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to put up with that. So that's for our next discussion. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we don't know what the president's going to do, but we'll see. We'll hope that, you know, that the army, the chiefs at the Pentagon won't undermine whatever he has in mind to do if he needs to use the military. How can the people of New York, you know, New York has so many fine people. I think of the way they responded after 9/11, the heroism, the greatness of the firefighters and the police and the people on the streets. You think of New York, maybe some of you, as a hardened city where people are gruff. You know, I'm from Chicago where people are gruff and a little abrupt also. But I find that in these big cities, people are just very honest. They may be rude sometimes, but they just don't have patience. But for the most part, they are really fine people who love families. They love their neighborhoods. And they just have a different manner. They are not ingenuine. You know, they just kind of tell it like it is. And that's offensive to some people who have a softer, more genteel culture where maybe we don't say what's really true because we're trying to sort of be nice. But I think the people of New York are fine people. And there's so many people there that are now just feel fearful for their lives. I saw this morning, it's so distressing. I saw a long clip of black men beating white people. And usually it's defenseless. Like there's one, you probably have seen it, of an older lady walking down the street in New York and a guy, she's I think in her 90s, and a black man comes and just hits her just from behind. She falls over, hits her head on a fire plug, and he doesn't kill her, but she has to be taken to the hospital. And of course she's wounded. She's 90 years old, for heaven's sake. She can't withstand an attack like that. That's just one. There's ones of them, hitting other elderly people, children, beating. It's horrendous. Now, let me make this really clear. If you think for a minute that your black friends and neighbors are happy with that, and that represents black culture, it represents hood culture, it represents, rap culture. It does not represent black Americans who work and live and love their families just like us. It does not represent them. And if you think then you want to lay that at the feet of all black people, then you're going to have to lay at the feet of all white people when you saw the dogs and the chains and the water hoses turned on black people during the civil rights era. So as I've said to you many times before, evil is colorblind. There are wicked people of all races. It has nothing to do with our race. It has to do with, as God, Jesus himself said, that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The hearts of these men, these young men who are black, who are beating defenseless people, children, is horrific. So we see this happening in the streets. We see this is racism. This is a racism stoked, I think, by Barack Obama and Eric Holder, two to mention, because I remember they When Eric Holder was first in office, the first speech he gave was that he emphasized out of the clear blue, and at the time, some of you won't remember this, but I remember very clearly that when Eric Holder said that his first mission was to have a conversation about race. He didn't think that he's saying there's systemic racism. He didn't use that word, but that's what he meant. But he planted the seed, and white Americans are not comfortable. America is not comfortable having a conversation about race, and we're going to change that. But he didn't mean that. He didn't mean just have a chat about it. He meant exactly what's been happening in the streets, and I think Barack Obama did too. They wanted to stoke racial division and use it for their purposes, and they've done it a terrific job of that. I have to hand it to them. We are all about race now. And they have stoked the hard feelings and the hurts, the pain of the past and Black Americans. And then now they are stoking the racism in whites too, because it's, they want us to be divided. They want it to be white against Black. It serves their purposes because they are Marxist leftists, not because they're Black men, but because they have an ideology that transcends color too. And that's it's interesting that it's, I believe now, maybe today's news will disprove me, but I do believe it was a white gentleman pulling up that car and unloading those batons to hand to Black Lives Matter operatives in the streets. Yeah, I think that's the way it went down. So I believe there's a little wickedness on both parts, not you. So enough of that. All right. In regard to the police, now the National Organization of Police Organizations has just endorsed President Trump. I think they did it last night or this morning, and it's the first time they've always endorsed, well, let's just say, in the recent past, they've endorsed Democrats. They endorsed Obama, and I don't know who, beyond that, I can't say, but I know that for sure. And now suddenly they're endorsing Trump. Why do you think? Why do you think? You think that we can allow our streets to be torn up like this and people to be attacked randomly and shot? And I would also say, the news media is not reporting things that I'm reading. I told you yesterday about this, 24-year-old girl who was shot to death because she said all lives matter to a Black Lives Matter group. This was in, I believe it was in Columbus, Ohio. I told you about this guy with cerebral palsy, whose car was, they didn't know he had cerebral palsy. He's inside it. He's trying to get away, and he backs up haltingly. He's got severe problems, and he bumps a bicycler who's with the protesters, the Black Lives Matter protesters, and so they ravage his car. They take everything out of it. He's just bought flowers for someone and a card, and then they realize they're climbing all over his car. They break the windshield. They break the windows. They open the trunk. They dump everything out. It is horrific what they're doing to people, and that cannot be allowed, and that's why the president wants to intervene. In these cities like New York, where really fine people are living, and they are helpless, they are hostages to their governance. People in Chicago who are hostages to their leftist mayor, who talks a good game but really does horrible things. And so the murder rate continues to escalate. It's just horrific. And so let me just say also, someone pointed this out to me. I haven't verified this myself, but I believe it's true. That in 1933, Hitler appointed Hermann Göring Minister of the Interior, and one of the first things they did was defund and eliminate police departments because the brown shirts were the ones doing the bidding of the Nazis, and of course they would beat and kill citizens and make sure that Hitler's mission was accomplished. Sounds a lot like what we're experiencing, doesn't it? Just one little sidebar. Matt Damon, who's such a hard leftist, loves Howard Zinn, who wrote that History of America that's so horrific. Well, you know what? Things are different for Matt Damon. He was moving into a new place in Brooklyn, and what he did was he closed an entire city street down, brought in a crane, which reached over 14 stories, and just overtook the block for I don't know how long. Somebody said, let's see, closed off the street all day and parked an enormous big red crane right in the middle of the street. And so he has a little different treatment, a little different life from the rest of the people in New York and in Brooklyn. So he has the luxury of thinking Howard Zinn and his lying book about the foundations of America are real. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to open the phone line. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Here's Steve Tiber, president of 8 Days of Hope.
2020 is going to be a busy year, and you'll have plenty of opportunities to come love and serve those in need with 8 Days of Hope. One of the new arms of the ministry is our Safe House Construction Ministry. We travel the country, and we partner with an existing ministry and help them renovate, build, or remodel a facility to provide a safe place for those who've been rescued from sex trafficking. For more information, as always, please go to our website.
8 Days of Hope started as a disaster relief ministry, and it has continued to grow since then.
We partner with an organization called Bigger Than Ball. Bigger Than Ball partnered with us when we went to Houston, Texas after Hurricane Harvey. We partnered with the Houston Astros. We rebuilt 8 baseball diamonds in Bigger Than Ball, then put on a free sports camp.
8 Days of Hope is much more than disaster relief.
For more information about this ministry or any arms of the ministry of 8 Days of Hope, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com.
Come be the hands and feet of Jesus.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Jeffrey Rosen, United States Deputy Attorney General. Mr. Rosen is the second highest ranking official in the Department of Justice and oversees the department's day-to-day operations. Proverbs 21:15 reminds us of the importance of justice. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Jeffrey Rosen as he works for justice in our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
A group of Virginia construction workers mighty upset after the state told them to take down a large American flag. The flag had been placed on the side of the new General Assembly building, about 50 feet wide, 20 feet long, displayed to celebrate the 4th of July. But state leaders feared the flag would end up becoming a target for Black Lives Matter protesters. So they told the construction workers it had to come down. A spokesperson for the Department of General Services said that over the past few months, vandalism has been reported around Capitol Square, and they feared the flag was a target for people protesting racial injustice. State Senator Ryan McDougall said the decision to take down Old Glory was outrageous and said whoever gave the order ought to be fired. You know, it's a mighty sad day in our nation when the red, white, and blue have to be hidden. There was a time in our history when those colors never ran. I sure do miss those days. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Yeah, this was really interesting. This was actually a Twitter exchange I saw earlier today. Someone said, look, the numbers in Ohio are crazy. I have a parent who they won't let out of the hospital until we get a negative test. And they keep testing and testing and testing. And it's going in the case count every time. And it's been 10 or 15 times. And then another Twitter user named Kyle Lamb, who's been a really good researcher on this stuff, pulled up the Ohio case file and found the exact person she was talking about who was listed as 15 cases, who was listed as someone of unknown gender in Mahoning County, age 80 plus. Symptom onset May 25th, 15 cases, and it was added up into the state count as 15 cases. There are tests everywhere. We have this huge discontinuity in the data around June 10th, where you can just see the number of positives and the number of tests take off everywhere in the country. And, you know, states were told to do this. The panic purveyor said, you have to test everyone. Mass testing is the greatest. Then we start seeing these huge numbers of tests, including huge numbers of positives. Then it's, oh my God, panic, shut everything down again based on those numbers. But a lot of the tests are repeat tests. A lot of the tests are, as you alluded to in the open, like Florida, lots of other states are reporting positives only and not negatives. A lot of employment-based testings, they come in, test everyone. The positive positives have to be reported to the state. The negatives, no one pops negative, they don't report it. So the data is a big mess, and it's really unfortunate because we have had a real rise in some places, much more modest than the big peak we saw a couple months ago. But it's very hard to differentiate that and understand how serious it actually is when you have this sea of bad data that we now have as a result of this hyper-testing.
Yeah, and 15 seconds, the hospitals now are required to directly report their data to HHS, not to CDC. How significant on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, we'll have to see how well HHS does, but I give it about at least a 7 or 8 because CDC's been atrocious. They've been so bad that most people are using a website from the Atlantic magazine to track national statistics instead of using the CDC website, which is pretty telling. And so I don't think they could be worse. Let me put it that way, Laura.
Yeah, so Sandy Rios with you. That was our friend Phil Kirpin, who's often a guest, with Laura Ingraham. And just confirming what I've been telling you, that CDC is a disaster. Maybe that's a different angle. I've told you it's a political organization whose numbers cannot be trusted. It's been corrupted since I was at CWA back in early 2000s. And so they're the ones that, you know, been, you know, issuing these proclamations. And Dr. Fauci's been repeating the proclamations. Dr. Redfield is the one who runs CDC, and he's the other doctor, male doctor, that was at the microphone often when we were having everyday briefings. And you remember that finally Deborah Birx, Dr. Birx, said she didn't believe anything that came out of the CDC. Well, there's a reason for that. I want to play just a little bit in a second. I want to say this. What Laura just said there and Phil responded to was that the White House has decided to send all the data to the Health and Human Services. Now, that's Alex Azar, and that's a good department. They've got really good staff, and they're the ones that have been really knocking it out of the ballpark on orders and just kind of changes in rules that are affecting people's lives in profound ways. So that's a trustworthy department, and I'm really happy to hear that, and bypassing CDC so that they cannot mess up the numbers, because we believe that many people believe that they're the ones that are messing with the numbers. It's not just them, though. It's the states. I mean, we told you yesterday in Florida, it was amazing how something like 300 labs had reported that 100% of the people they tested for COVID were positive. Does that make sense to you on any level, that 100% of people testing would be positive for COVID? I don't think so. Actually, I got an interesting email from a listener this morning. She said it's from someone in Arizona who said her friend went to get tested, like all good people do, in case they are asymptomatic. After hours of waiting, when she got to the front of the line, they ran out of tests. They told her to come back. The next day, she gets an email that both she and hubby tested positive, but they never had the test. Then today, I was talking to a guy who said his neighbor signed up to get tested. When he still had 2 hours to wait, he said, forget it. The next day, he received news his whole family had tested positive. Now that's a Facebook, you know, who knows? I'm not reporting that to you as fact, but I do, obviously, something's really rotten in Denmark here. And so that reminds me, then there's a headline from Fox this morning. Coronavirus outbreaks in Arizona, Texas, and Florida account for nearly half of new U.S. daily reported cases. See, this is just something really, really rotten in Denmark. See, New York is, what did I read about them? They said no new cases. I think that's what, something like that. So New York City has no new cases, but Florida, I mean, everybody's dying in Florida. Trust me. I mean, of course, the convention, Republican convention, is going to take place in Jacksonville. I'm sure it has nothing to do with that. And in Arizona and Texas, where they're trying to turn them blue, I'm sure that they're not trying to, you know, cause trouble for a Republican leadership there. Arizona is split, some Democrats, some Republicans. They're trying to get the left is trying to get Martha McSally out because they're trying to change the makeup of the U.S. Senate, because the Republicans only have a 3-seat hold. So there are all kinds of things going on here. And Fox is cooperating, as I've said to you many times before. I want to illustrate it in a different way. Yesterday, Sandra Smith, I don't know what's wrong with Sandra Smith. I don't know what's wrong with a lot of people, but she was interviewing Dr. Scott Atlas. Scott Atlas has become one of my favorites. He is at Stanford University Medical Center. I guess maybe I like him because he went to University of Illinois and got his MD from University of Chicago. Maybe that's why. I didn't know that until I read his bio. But honestly, he's solid as a rock. And they had a conversation about sending children back to school. Let's listen to clip 8.
It's in the best interest of everyone to have our kids get back into the classroom safely. So the first question is, can we do it?
I mean, yes, of course we can do it. Everyone else in the world, in the Western world, our peer nations are doing it. We are the outlier here. And why are they doing it? Because the same reasons we should. Number one, we know at this point, if you believe in the science says that the 99.97% of deaths in the U.S. are in people over 15, 99.9% are in people over 24. The hospitalization rate for influenza, according to the CDC, is much greater, quote unquote, than from COVID-19 for children. The JAMA pediatric study, 46 hospitals in North America, pediatric hospitals, quote, the risk of a critical illness from COVID-19 is far less than from seasonal influenza, unquote. There is virtually zero risk to children for getting something serious or dying from this disease. Anyone who thinks schools should be closed is not talking about the risk to children. That's factually true, and they should say that. It has nothing to do with the children's risk. Now, let's talk about the risk to teachers. Mm-hmm. The teachers are, yeah, because this is probably the big fear here, obviously. The teachers, first of all, are a young population in the United States. K-12 teachers, half of them are under 41, 82% are under 55. These are not high-risk age groups. We know this by now. And it's true that there are high-risk teachers, and those teachers should be able to believe in their social distancing and masks like they do for every other essential business when they go to the grocery store, for instance. They can teach using social distancing. And if they're still afraid, they can stay at home. There's no reason to lock up the children.
Excellent point. No reason to lock up the children. You should see the demands the teachers' unions are making to reopen. In fact, I have a list here, and I'll find it in a second. But it's things like abolish police, raise their salaries, of course. It has nothing to do with COVID or safety. It's all a list of political demands, and I will find it and read it to you. I want you to hear some more of this conversation between Sandra Smith and Dr. Scott Atlas. Let's listen clip 9.
I'd like to talk about the harms to the children. The harms to the children are never in the discussion for some bizarre reason.
You mean the harms if we don't send them back to school?
The harms to the children for closing schools. Excuse mm-hmm. me. Thanks for correcting mm-hmm. me. Yes, I mean, this is the biggest problem of all. Yet again, we're going to commit some severe public policy without regard for the harms of the policy. Children are not just learning from, first of all, long distance learning is a failure. 50% drop in math ability, 30% drop in reading ability. Half the kids, or 20 to 50% of kids, don't even log on. This distance learning is not going to work. But besides that, the most important things that kids learn are other things like social interactions, like maturation, like learning to deal with groups, group conflict. Mm-hmm. You can't learn that on a computer. Moreover, the schools are where we learn that kids need a hearing aid.
But Dr. Atlas, to be clear, while you are saying how important it is to get kids back into school and do so safely, you are encouraging that CDC guidance be followed, that there's mask wearing, social distancing, and all of the precautions that they're recommending?
Not for children. That would be irrational. Children, it doesn't matter if children get the disease. They don't get sick from this. And the data shows that they do not significantly transmit to adults. And this is data.
But
this
isn't
is not
the
a hypothetical
point to stop
discussion.
The spread? And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean, the science shows that mask wearing stops the spread of the disease. And don't we have a collective duty in this country to stop the spread?
There's no rational reason or science to say that children transmit the disease significantly. In fact, there's data to the contrary. You either believe in the science or you say you believe in the science and act contrary to science. The science says, and this is data from Iceland, Sweden, Switzerland, the Netherlands, France, the UK, Australia, Canada, Ireland, everywhere in the Germany, everywhere in the Western world has shown that children do not transmit significantly to adults, even their own parents, and that teachers are not at higher risk of getting a disease like this disease from children. You either believe the science or not. You can't insist you believe in the science and then act contrary to science. And by the way, like I said, we are the only country not opening schools.
All right. So again, that's Dr. Scott Atlas with Sandra Smith. I'm not done with listening to that. In fact, let's go on. Let's play clip 10 before I make my further comments. Clip 10.
So what are you suggesting then? I mean, the president says that politics are at play for keeping kids home and other harsh restrictions that we're seeing across the country. Do you believe that?
I believe that there is zero reason, in fact, zero excuse to not have the schools open in person. The Hospital for Sick Kids in Toronto, one of the world's best hospitals, just delineated this. Schools must be in person, no masks, no spacing, because children are not at risk. If you believe that there should be some kind of restriction on schools,
okay,
you're not talking about children.
It's a fascinating conversation. I don't mean to cut you off, but there's so many things to talk about there, because there are kids who fall into the high-risk category. There are kids with asthma. How do you protect them?
Well, of course, I'm not... Okay, there is a small minority of children that are at high risk, and those kids need to be protected. That's always true. Let me put it this way. Seasonal influenza is more risky for children, more than COVID-19. Seasonal influenza is transmitted from children to the high-risk adults who are teachers every year. Seasonal influenza in California, the percent of deaths in children was 5.4%. Zero kids have died from COVID-19. If teachers think that they can't work during this, then they absolutely must say that we have to close schools from November through April.
All right, Scott Atlas, I want to comment a few things. Oh, gosh, I don't know if I want to. Actually, I want you to hear what the rest of what he has to say. Let's do that. And we are going to open the phone lines. I don't want to just talk about kids, but I want to talk about how COVID is affecting your life, how the mask wearing is working, what's happening in your state, things that you know that I wouldn't know. And our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Here is the last interaction between Sandra Smith and Dr. Scott Atlas. Let's listen.
All right, don't know is how this is going to interact with the flu season. And that's what Dr. Redfield is warning. Listen to him and I'll get your thoughts on the other side. Listen.
I do think the fall and the winter of 2020 and 2021 are going to be probably one of the most difficult times that we've experienced in American public health because of what you said, the co-occurrence of COVID and influenza.
So, Dr. Atlas, how do you respond to that? We don't know what an entire flu season looks like combined with COVID-19. And as Dr. Fauci continually warns, there's so much that we still don't know about this disease and the spread of the disease. Doesn't that concern you, putting all these kids back into the classroom together?
I find it bizarre that people focus on some kind of statement, we don't know everything. We don't know everything about any single disease. We know a massive amount. It is proven that children have no significant risk. It is proven that influenza is worse than this for children. It is proven that children don't transmit significantly to adults. That's proven. Why do we keep saying, but we don't know X? People insist it's all about the science, and then we go and irrationally endanger, destroy our children because it's not about the science.
We're at the mercy of the medical experts that are obviously advising the president, advising the top levels of our government on all of this, Dr. Atlas. Dr. Anthony Fauci is being taken on by the president's own economic advisor in this new piece published in USA Today. He's basically saying Fauci's been wrong about everything that he's interacted with him on. When you ask me whether I listen to Dr. Fauci's advice, my answer is only with skepticism and caution. So are you saying that Dr. Fauci's advice, are you disregarding what we're hearing from those top medical experts advising the president?
I'm saying look at the science. I'm saying use critical thinking and logic. Certain things are known. If you don't believe that in the science, then stop saying you believe in the science. The science says open the schools. The science says there's no risk to children. The science says teachers are not at risk if they go to school. Listen, either schools are an essential business in this country or they're not. I don't understand why people don't take into account the severe harms of not having schools. Yeah. Isn't that what public policy is all about? To weigh what you're doing, not just stopping COVID-19 at all costs. Yeah. If we start acting out of fear and are an outlier in this country's finished.
Yeah, so Dr. Scott Atlas puts it very well. We're going to put that entire interview on our Facebook page because you should hear that and share it, okay? When we come back, let's talk. I want to know what you're seeing where you are. 888-589-8840.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. As David prepared to face Goliath, Saul tried to outfit David with Saul's personal armor. But David didn't have Saul's armor when he faced the lion or the bear. And David recognized that he didn't need the armor to slay Goliath. Today, many Christians yield to the temptation to be hipper, cooler, even a little fuzzy on the clear teachings of Scripture in order to face the Goliaths of our day. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. We don't need a cool light show to be effective ambassadors for Christ. All we need is to offer what we have freely received. We know the transforming power of Christ because He has transformed us.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. As a nation, we are locked in a cultural civil war which only one side can win. On one side are those of us who believe in God, Christianity, the Ten Commandments, the Constitution, marriage, family, the sanctity of life, and religious liberty. On the other side are those who believe in government control of every area of life, aberrant sexuality, squelching of free speech, and clamping down on Christianity. This divide is evidenced in the latest Gallup poll, which reveals that 91% of Republicans approve of the job President Trump is doing, but only 2% of Democrats do. This 89% gap is the biggest Gallup has ever measured. Our cultural adversaries cannot be reasoned with or persuaded. They can only be defeated. If only one side can win, it might as well be us.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In recent weeks, insistent demands from the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization and its sympathizers to defund the police have contributed to the breakdown of law and order and an upsurge of violent and destructive chaos across the country. Now, radical leftists want us to defund the U.S. military. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who may shortly be running the place, has endorsed their demands for an arbitrary 10% cut in Pentagon funds, with the savings reallocated to housing and health care. Sound familiar? We live in a world of hurt. Enemies abound and have been emboldened by what they perceive as our preoccupation with various domestic crises. If you think an America without police is a formula for disaster, think about what our planet looks like without a powerful America. It's time for peace through strength at home and abroad. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of...
Okay, I'm going to say, he goes on and on. That's Dr. Fauci, and that was just a few months ago, saying that there's no need to wear masks. And now he thinks there's a need to wear masks, and he wears one every day. And that's why he's come under such criticism. By the way, he's on the cover of In Style magazine this week, sitting here with his sunglasses. He has Dan Scavino, who is the chief, deputy chief of staff for communications for President Trump, posted a cartoon of Fauci as a running faucet washing the U.S. economy down the drain with his calls for lockdowns and school closures, because that's where he is now. Wear a mask and close all the schools. And he's not trustworthy. He hasn't been for a long time. So anyway, I don't want to spend my time talking about Fauci because I want to talk to you. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. What are you seeing out there? What are you experiencing? Let's talk about it. Let's go right away to Nate in Michigan. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Sandy. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to tell you, you're an amazing woman, and God bless you for all you do and your whole staff and team.
Thank you, Nate. Very kind.
But, you're welcome. But, Sandy, another man I know said it better than I did, if ever could have thought of, is these masks are a badge of fear. And Fauci needs to step down. Trump needs to get rid of him. Just watch Laura Ingraham from last night talk about how you're actually more likely to get sick wearing a mask and studies that she was citing in her program. It's just really sad what they're doing. My family and I, we own several businesses, have a little over 100 employees. And in Michigan, as you probably know, our witless governor put out a decree that we have to wear masks in public and we have to have them as businesses. I, as a business owner, am not the mask police. And I just want to tell businesses and business owners that are listening, if you have a business, one way we figured to get around this is to put a sign on our doors that says that our governor has ordered all customers must wear a mask when entering this facility. However, if you have a medical condition that prevents you from wearing a mask, you don't need to wear one. If you are not wearing one, we will assume this is the case, and due to HIPAA and the Fourth Amendment, we will not ask you about it. All of our employees.
Oh, that's great, Nate. Yeah. That's great.
So,
now, how is that working? I mean, how are people responding? Are a lot of people coming in still masked to your stores? Or I know that's a broad question, but what are you seeing with customers?
No. We have people that come in that see the sign or ask us right away, do I need a mask in here? And we tell them, absolutely not. And they have a huge sigh of relief and take it off. Yeah, people don't like wearing them. They get sick of them. Of course, you have people that come in that leave them on. We haven't really had anybody scowl us or anything yet for doing what we're doing and not making people wear them. And we're respectful for the people that do have them on. But we're not requiring our employees. We're, as far as if they're not wearing them, I'm not asking them why. I just know it's their right not to wear one because they medically might be unfit to or whatever.
Nate, I'm thrilled to hear this, but now here's the other part of this. And evidently you haven't seen, it doesn't sound like you've seen this. What I'm seeing, this week I've been talking about, we were in Minnesota at Mayo Clinic last week, so we were in Rochester for several days. Minnesota is terrible, you know. You don't have to wear masks everywhere, but you have to wear, that's actually not true. Rochester, the last day we were there, implemented a mask everywhere rule. So what I saw and what I see even where I'm living is people they become Nazis, personal Nazis. If you don't have a mask on, there are glares, and you are selfish. And I mean, I saw literal hatred from another patient at Mayo when my mask was dipped down below my nose, and she just screamed, "You! It's you! It's you!" I mean, it was actually shocking. It's making people Nazis. So you haven't seen anything like that?
No, we have not. But I've heard of things like that, and that's really sad. You know, and I'm sorry that you had to go through. That's ridiculous. But, you know, another thing that I feel about these masks, is I feel that you see people driving around in their cars all by themselves wearing them.
Yes, yes, you know, or riding their bikes.
Why are you doing that? And right, and I think a lot of them are younger people, and I kind of get the impression that they're kind of sitting there with their mask on thinking they're all incognito and this is cool. No one knows who I am. No one, you know, I could cut that guy off in my car and he's not going to know who I am. You know, it emboldens people, I think, in these riots, too. They have their mask on. They feel like they're incognito.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, like social media. Yeah, it's just, you can be anonymous and then you can be horrible. You know, you can say horrible things. You can do horrible things. I think you're absolutely right, Nate. I think it's very dangerous. And all right. So I could talk to you for a long time, but I thank you for calling. And I wish you all the best. I wish you all the best with your businesses and everything. All right. Thank you so much. God bless you, Nate. All right. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Pete. Pete, what are you seeing there? I think your governor has basically said, and he's getting a lot of hits for it, that you do not have to wear a mask, that he suggests it, but you don't have to. Is that correct? Pete, are you there? Okay. Let me just, sorry, we missed Pete. I'm going to try to put him on hold. I can figure out how to do this. It's been a long time. Try that. Nope. All right, let's go to Karen in Ohio. Good morning, Karen.
Yes.
You were to yes, ma'am. What's on your mind, Karen?
I'm in Ohio where a dictator, DeWine, has issued a mandate to wear a mask. And
Everywhere, Karen?
Everywhere. Oh, everywhere. Boy. But then they kind of modify it with if you're in a big setting, like going, some grocery stores have now said you have, like Walmart just recently said you have to wear a mask. So, okay, I just don't believe it's true. You know, all the fake data and all the fake news, like President Trump has been saying over the last few years. I come from a medical background, and we had to be fitted for N95 masks. And that was what they said at the beginning of all of this COVID. N95 masks were the best masks to be wearing to prevent viral infection, breathing in viruses. Okay, then they changed it. Okay, wear the cloth ones, wear the ones that you can buy in your grocery store. Like, why? Because it's like trying to keep out a mosquito from going through a chain link fence.
Yes. You know what you're saying is because of the parts, whatever microbes, whatever the term is,
the particles,
are so tiny that these masks cannot prevent it. Yes, I know.
Exactly.
That's why Rand Paul calls it kabuki theater.
Yeah, and so I try to go in the stores without them. And actually, I made a mask made out of like a mesh. Like ladies used to wear those little hats on their heads that had that mesh come down over their eye. Well, that's what I made a mask out of. And I will wear that. And if they say, you have to have a mask on, well, it's covering my nose and my mouth. It is a mask. And so... you know, if I'm made to wear one, that's one I'm going to wear. And I also made a different one that has a pacifier taped on the outside so I can say, do you feel better now? You can
really
on this, make yourself better. And so I just am so horrified that even the churches around here have some are open, some are not. And I'm thinking, where are the big boy and big girl pants of the kingdom of God?
Oh, Karen,
you're
echoing my sentiments exactly. I just don't understand. I do not understand the cluelessness. I think part of it is just the
really
uninformed, and then also just not wanting to rock the boat, wanting to, you know, please parishioners. People feel both ways, so we'll have it right down the middle. We don't want to offend anyone because, you know, fill in the blank. And so I'm with you. Where are mighty men? Where are our mighty men of God? I don't know where they are right now. I don't know where they are.
I mean, I do go to a church that has four services, two drive-in services and two inside services. So he's placating all of the above. The people who don't feel safe, they can stay in their cars. And the people say, hey, I'm going in that church. And I just give Pastor Frank a big Yahoo, thank you, Jesus, on that. But yeah.
Karen, listen, I need to move on, but thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your comments this morning. Let's go to Brad in Kansas. Good morning, Brad. Brad, good morning. I don't know why I'm having trouble here. There you are. So you have a story about wearing a mask, right?
Yeah, I had to sit when I was sitting at a table at a place. I sat there for 9 hours wearing a mask, and all of a sudden I started getting cold, and then my body started hurting. My neck started getting stiff. I didn't know what was going on. I thought an air conditioning vent was, like, directly on me, but it wasn't. But anyway, I left the place, and I got in my car, and I started driving back home, and I had to pull over and park and call 911 and have an ambulance come and get me and take me to an emergency room.
Now, wait a second. You, Brad, where were you? You were just doing your business wearing a mask? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I was in a business, but I was there for like 9 hours, and they required a mask.
Okay, okay.
When you're sitting there.
Okay, so bottom line, what did they say? We're going to run out of time. Bottom line, what did you have?
Carbon dioxide poisoning.
Oh, my word. Did you have a different kind of mask on? Did you have like a particularly...
One of the ones that they hand out, the blue ones.
No kidding. So now that's what do you do? Is Kansas make you wear masks?
Certain places.
Yeah.
The county I live in, they are not enforced. The police will not enforce it. And that's a good thing. But now I have a huge, ambulance bill and emergency room bill and CAT scan bill, EKG bill.
I am not one for lawsuits, but sometimes they're useful. You probably have a lawsuit there, which might be very beneficial to the rest of the country for this making people, and also let me just say, isn't it interesting to me, Brad, thank you so much. Isn't it interesting that the global warming climate change folk, they are freaked out. We're going to die in 12 years because of CO2 in the air, right? We're breathing too much CO2. We're all going to die, right? And yet they are the same crowd, plus some, who want us to wear a mask, which what do you think you're breathing? When you put the mask over your mouth, we human beings emit CO2. That's what you're breathing. And that's why he got sick. That's why Brad got sick. It's an amazing story. Okay, quickly, John in Missouri, what's your story there, sir?
Hey, I work for a big company in St. Louis, and I haven't worn a mask since day one. And we have trucks coming in and out, drivers from all around the country coming in and out every day. 50 plus, and nobody at the plant has gotten COVID except for one driver that I share a truck with.
Huh.
And
did he get really sick, John?
They told me about it. He said he couldn't breathe. They said he went to the hospital. They told me, they asked me what I wanted to do, if I wanted to get tested. I said, no, I'm not going to become a number, and I'm not scared. And the only thing they made me do is just switch trucks. So I got into a different truck while the other one sat in quarantine. And I foster kids, and nobody in my house got sick, and I never got sick.
Wow, that's really interesting story, John. Well, see, that's what Europe, Scott Atlas alluded to this, but in Europe where they're already opening up, the schools are back together, now not Italy and not Spain, but in Germany, Sweden, and other countries, they never wore masks. They never shut down like we have. And they didn't, it's just completely derails. It was World Health Organization who decided that we should be doing all these things. And that didn't go well in the countries in Asia where they followed their guidelines. And it has not gone well for us where we followed their guidelines either. I'm glad you escaped getting sick, John. I appreciate you telling this story. Now, here we are. It's the end of the day, and I can't get to all your calls. I'm so sorry. We just need, a whole day of talking, right, to catch up. But I appreciate your comments when you send them to me in email and Facebook and however we can have this conversation. I would encourage many of you to go on Facebook and dialogue with each other. At Sandy Rios in the Morning, go there and you can talk to each other and share information. It's just a great place. And we try to post things that will be helpful to you, like that interview this morning between Sandra Smith and Dr. Atlas. I think that will be helpful, and other articles too, as I find them. We don't post very much, just a good amount to help you, equip you with information. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.